It is becoming soon, if not already here, the time of year for the wonderful smells of spring. Clorox and Pine Sol and Comet, because so many people this time of year decide it's time to clean everything out. Been cooped up in the house. Maybe it was more necessary in years gone by than it is nowadays. But cooped up in the house and everybody in there, and a lot of stuff builds up and not as much daylight during the day, and so people spend time spring cleaning. And boy, do they get detailed when they start spring cleaning. But I think we need to recognize that there is a need from time to time for us to do a little spiritual cleaning. While we're certainly supposed to be guarding and watching ourselves on a daily basis, in fact, some of us have to watch ourselves on an hourly basis sometimes, there's something to be said for taking some time and really digging deep into our hearts and using that sword of the Spirit that we talked about in our Bible class the other Sunday morning, that reaches deep and divides all the way in and can tell us exactly what's going on. And kind of like, I don't know, maybe for you it's your grandmother that did a lot of serious spring cleaning, or my mother did a little bit too. She made you crawl up under the bed and get all the dust bunnies, and you had to pull stuff out of the closet and look up on top of the shelves and all those sort of things. We need to do that with our lives. In fact, that's part of what James tells us there, as Brother Bill read for us, that we need to cleanse our hands and purify our hearts. It's also what the Apostle Paul, I think, is talking about, at least to some degree, in 2 Corinthians chapter 13. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, in particular, verse 5, where he says, "Test or examine yourselves to see if you're in the faith. Or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test?" Just like we strip all the sheets off the bed and put them in and hang them out to dry after we wash them so we can get that fresh spring smell. And we clean out all the crooks and crannies. We need to do that with our spiritual minds from time to time. We need to take the time to look and make sure that we have cleansed ourselves as much as we possibly can of the little things that may gather as we go through our life. We need to recognize some things about this cleaning as well. In fact, we're going to spend some time over the next few months talking about some details that need to be cleaned out or need to be looked at or considered maybe. But this morning we really want to talk about why there's a need and some things about this need to examine. As Paul told the Corinthian brethren, this is an individual cleaning. It's an examining of self. And I must be responsible for my own cleaning out of sins and correcting myself. And we need to acknowledge that. The book of Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 20 tells us the instructions given to the old nation of Israel, the person who sins will die. The son will not bear the punishment of the father's iniquity, nor will the father bear the punishment for the son's iniquity. The righteousness of the righteous will be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself. Or as Paul rendered it in the book of Romans, then each one of us will give an account of himself to God. These passages, along with many others that we could look at through the Scripture, remind us that it is an individual responsibility. Now, when I was growing up, when it came time what spring cleaning we did, the whole family got involved. But here, this is something that we as an individual must do. You may have others that might be able to help you and assist you in correcting those things or seeing your wrongs, but it's you that has to make the change. Only you as an individual. And the question is not how strong we might be, or how wise or brilliant we are, or how popular we might be. What we're talking about is, am I faithful to God? What kind of spiritual strength do I have? What are the areas where I need to work on? We need to look diligently into ourselves and acknowledge that it is an individual responsibility. to strengthen myself and to cleanse myself of whatever wickedness may have gathered in my life. We also need to understand, as we do with physical cleaning, that there is a standard that must be followed. Now, as most of you in your house, mom's the standard. If she says it's clean, then it's clean. If she doesn't agree, then you go back and do it over again until it is clean to her satisfaction. And we need to recognize that when we're talking about a spiritual cleaning, a cleansing of our souls and our hearts, that it must be according to the standard that matters. And when we're talking about spiritual things, there's only one standard that matters, and that is the standard of the Word of God. We read in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 and 9, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And certainly we've looked at this and made comment about this in the past about how God's thoughts are so much higher or different than ours. We need to understand that what we think is right doesn't matter. What God thinks is right is what makes the difference. We think on a different level of consciousness than God does. God thinks in eternity. God thinks for all time, and we think for right now, for here, for tomorrow. God dwells in and thinks about heaven and the eternal resting place and the reward that is awaiting there for us. We think about what we're going to eat for lunch today. Sometimes can't even think into what we're going to eat for lunch tomorrow. We need to recognize that it is the standard of God that we must cleanse ourselves to. We need to go to what He has said. Sometimes we're able to make long distance plans. We're able to look and say, okay, I've got this that needs to be accomplished, and we'll work toward that, and we'll move to this and that, and we can have some sort of confidence that those things will be carried out. But think about how God's plans have been carried out and the kind of process and forethought that is evident in what God has revealed to us in His Word. Even before the universe was created, while the earth was still formless and void, God planned to send Jesus to die on the cross of Calvary to save mankind, because mankind was going to be too wicked to save himself. God was able, because of the level of thinking and process by which God can use that we cannot even attain, cannot even imagine to some degree, God was able to look down and say, okay, Dan Henderson is going to need saving. And here's how it's going to be done. God's plan of thoughts is so much greater than ours. What we think may be good may not be good in the sight of God. We have to go to God's Word and learn what He says is right. Just like when we were cleaning up our rooms, and we thought we were finished, and Mom walked to the door and said, no, go back and do it again, because she saw something very obvious there according to her standards. And we had to learn what her standard was and go back and clean to hers. We need to make sure that we're using the right standard. There's a way that seems right to man, but its end is the way of death. When we start examining ourselves, when we start thinking about how my life is and whether I've got this sin or I've got this problem or how strong I may be, more often than not, we tend to look over at brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so and say, well, I'm in a better situation than they are. Or sometimes it's a more positive sort of thing. We look and say, I really would like to attain the level of spirituality that I see and sister so-and-so. We compare ourselves among ourselves. Paul told the Corinthian brethren that we're not to class or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves, but when they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they're without understanding. First off, if we're comparing ourselves to our peers, they think on the same level we do. What they think is right is no more right than what I think is right. We've got to think on the standard of God. We can't look and say, well, I've progressed further in my knowledge and understanding of the will of God than Brother so-and-so has over this past year, so I'm A-OK. What we've got to do is look into the Word of God and see if we are progressing as God would have us to progress. If we are growing according to His standard, because it is the Word of God that is standard. Jesus said those that rejected Him and His Word had one that judges. The Word I have spoken will judge him in the last day. And even the Apostle Paul, when he spoke to the Corinthian brethren about following an example, he said, be imitators of me as I am also of Christ. He didn't say, brethren, look to me and let me be your standard. He says, imitate and follow my standard as that standard comes to the standard of Christ. Imitate Christ like I imitate Christ. We need to look to the standard that is the only standard that matters, the standard of eternity, the standard from God. And when we examine ourselves, we need to take, as the word in Hebrews says, that sword of the Spirit and cut to the heart with the Word of God to find the deep crevices and cronies, the back corners, and even the bright shining surfaces in accordance with that standard. Then we're actually doing some spiritual cleaning. We also recognize that it must be thorough. Every part of my life needs to be touched. When you talk to some folks about what they do in spring cleaning, they clean things that some of us didn't even know we had. I mean, some folks even go so far as to pull the washer and dryer completely out and clean underneath those and sweep them and mop them and polish the floor and all that kind of stuff. It's got to be thorough. We got to go from the basement all the way up to the ceiling. We got to go from one end all the way to the other. The utility room, the closets, the garage, and the storage room. We need to have the same attitude in our spiritual cleansing. We need to look completely through our heart. The psalmist cried out, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way." That's the kind of attitude we ought to have when it comes time to cleaning our spiritual life, to examining ourselves, to see whether we are truly in the faith or not. God, look deep within me and show me all my faults. Use the light of God to shine into all the dark places of our heart and of our mind. And determine if there be anything that is amiss. And then take care of it. Deal with it. It's not enough to pull the washer and dryer out and look and see what's under there and then push them back over it. Cleaning out all the nooks and crannies and then pushing more stuff back up in there, that's not clean. Get it out. Get it dealt with. Wipe it down. Buff it out. Shine it up. Make it clean. According to God's standards. That may mean we have to take the sword of the Spirit and cut something off. That's the idea that we see in several passages of Scripture where we're reminded that if our eye offends us, pluck it out. If your hand offends, you cut it off. Because it's better to go through life maimed than to find yourself doomed to eternal hell because you wanted to hang on to that one little thing. It's got to be thorough. Not just the investigation, but the cleansing. In fact, for it to be a thorough spiritual cleansing, we need to cleanse the floor just like we cleanse the plates that we're going to eat off of. I make it all look right. Because God will bring every act to judgment. Everything which is hidden and everything that is open, whether it is good or it is evil. No matter what it is, if it's in our life, it's going to show up on Judgment Day. But we can deal with it now. If we shine the light of the Word of God on our lives, we can find those places and we can correct them. We can patch the broken areas and bring them back to the standard that God expects. We need to seek to improve ourselves and to become stronger and better able to avoid those things that might tear us down and away from God. One of the problems that we sometimes find ourselves with, especially in this country, is, well, I don't need that right now, so I'm going to set it off over here out of the way. And then we set something else off over here out of the way, set something else off over here out of the way, and pretty soon we got a big old dark corner over there that we can't even see what's in the bottom of it. Don't even think about it anymore. Must not be there because I don't think about it anymore. We've got to go into those things and we've got to find them, and then we need to find some way to keep from putting things in that corner. There were a few times after having to, having to help my brothers clean out their room, that I wish we could have just boarded up underneath their bed so they couldn't put anything under there. Nailed the edges of the rug down so they couldn't hide nothing under it. Nailed the closet door shut. Because you find all kinds of stuff in there. Now, I'm not saying my room was perfect, but there was two of them in there and they were younger than I was. They had a lot of stuff that got put under the bed. We need to learn a way to keep from putting it under there. You learn to keep those places clean. And to some degree, that's a part of what's being talked about that we talked about in Bible class this morning in Hebrews chapter 6. Leaving the elementary teaching about the cross, let us press on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith toward God and those sort of things. We need to learn how to deal with sin so that it doesn't pile up. You learn to overcome it. Because the Revelation letter tells us it is the one who overcomes that will receive the reward. At least seven times that idea is presented in the first part of the book of Revelation and other times throughout the book. It's the one who can avoid temptation, the one who can keep himself from sin that is the most pleasing in the sight of God. When John wrote his letters, he said, "I write so that you do not sin. But if you do sin, you have an advocate with the Father." So the biggest problems I have with cleaning out now is where I piled stuff back to get it out of the way right then. Need to learn to get rid of it. Sin. Maybe some of the stuff in the house too. I don't know. But need to learn to get rid of sin. Get away from it. Solomon concluded that man is never truly happy. After all that he went through, he tried wine, women, song, money, glory, zoos, all kinds of stuff, houses, lands. And after all that, he said, the only time man is truly happy is when he devotes himself to serving God. That's when we find happiness and contentment in this life. We need to be thorough enough to look both at our strong points and our weak points. Take the time both to strengthen those things that we have, that we've been using, and help them to grow and increase, but also look back and see those areas where we are weak and reinforce them and build them up a little bit and help them to grow. It's not enough to cleanse ourselves of all of the old and the sinful, but we also need to work on increasing those things that are right and proper. It needs to be thorough. and it needs to be honest. It needs to be honest. Once again, this gets to that point of we need to look deep. We need to find all the areas. Because as the Israelites were told in Numbers 32, be sure your sin will find you out. Remember, Solomon said, everything comes before God in the end. It's easy for us sometimes to look at our life and consider how we've been living, and we think, well, you know, when that happened, there were so many things going on, and that's really not a problem. I'm not going to have to deal with that again. And so we just kind of push it aside and ignore it, forgetting that if we don't get it dealt with now, and if we don't prepare ourselves to deal with it again when it pops up later, it's going to catch us. It's going to catch us off guard. It's going to catch us without being prepared for the Master to return. We're going to be held accountable for knowing, yet not doing. Maybe we look into our life and we find, well, that's just a little thing. It's not a big deal, not a big problem. And so I'm not going to worry too much about that. I'm going to go work on this. It's really a huge difficulty in my life. And I'm going to spend all my time there. Well, then you still got this dirty spot over there that you hadn't taken care of. We need to deal with everything. It's always best to admit our sins and obtain forgiveness from God and whoever, whatever men might be offended by them. The wise man said, he who conceals his transgression will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will find compassion. It is God's desire not that we look at, oh, I messed up, and I hope nobody sees that, but that we'll look, I messed up. God, please forgive me and help me to find a way to keep from doing that again. Just like when we spill coffee on the rug, because we're carrying our coffee around in a cup that doesn't have a lid, we remember next time to put a lid on the cup before we carry it into the living room. Or at least close the flap on the lid that keeps the hole covered. We've got to be honest about all things. Confess your sins one to another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of the righteous man can accomplish much. Notice what James says there. James doesn't just say, confess your sins to God. He says, confess your sins to one another. Now, I'm a little put out with some of my brethren that are all into this touchy-feely stuff, and I've got to have some kind of life coach or life partner, accountability partner, that's what they call them. And I talk to them about everything and all this kind of stuff. But there is, what James says, there's an element of that necessary for us. Sometimes in order for us to properly deal with a problem, we need to let somebody else know we've got that problem. I'm convinced that for most of us in this audience, we've got somebody to help us deal with that problem. We've got a husband or a wife. That's part of our duties as spouses, is to help one another grow and increase and keep one another from temptation and sin. But it is good for us to find someone that will help us be accountable. We often hear folks doing this when they're losing weight. They're more likely to lose weight if they're dealing with someone else, or there's two people working together, because you encourage one another, or you prompt one another, or shame one another, whichever direction it may happen to go. And the Scripture tells us the same is true of our sin. Confess our sins to one another. It does two things. It does give us some accountability among our brethren. And it also helps the weaker brother. And I say, well, how in the world is that? Well, if the weaker brother looks and here's brother so-and-so that never seems to do anything wrong, but then he finds out, yes, brother so-and-so did mess up, but he corrected it, set things right, that gives this weaker brother a little encouragement. That if even he messes up sometimes, maybe my problems I can overcome as well. Maybe I can learn to overcome those things and I can eventually be that strong brother that I see there. Not using him as a standard, but at least an encouragement to reach the standard of God, which is what Paul seemed to be doing with the Corinthian brother. It is good to hold ourselves accountable. We need to be honest in answering things about our life as a Christian. Sometimes we don't think about it much. We don't dwell on it. But, you know, we sometimes, even as Christians who are considered mature Christians, might need to look and say, am I really obeying the gospel from the heart? Maybe not going back and saying, did I obey from the heart? Sometimes maybe we need to do that. Question our initial obedience. Look diligently into that as well. Did I really do all the things that I was instructed I was supposed to do? Did I really understand all those things? But even those of us that have been Christians for what might be termed as decades, we need to look and say, am I obeying with my heart? Or am I just going through the motions? Nope. Paul, when he wrote to the Roman brethren, I thank God, you were slaves of sin, but you became obedient from the heart to the teaching to which you were committed. And certainly he's talking about their initial obedience. But that needs to be a continual thing in our lives. It needs to be an act of devotion and love toward God, not just, they said I'm supposed to do this, so this is what I'm going to do. It needs to come from within. Am I faithfully continuing to live as a Christian? The encouragement that Paul gave the Corinthian brethren, steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil or labor is not in vain in the Lord. Am I still working hard for God? Am I still putting forth my best? Am I sacrificing for the cause of Christ? We don't talk a lot about sacrificing. Maybe we need to spend a little more time dealing with the need to sacrifice for the Lord. Oftentimes when we think about sacrifice, first thing we think about is persecution. And we go to people like Stephen and Paul and Peter and various ones who dealt with persecution then. There are many ways that we can sacrifice for the Lord. You know, the Apostle Paul told the Roman brethren to present their bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Because that is your spiritual service of worship, or that is your responsibility as a child of God, living for God. Am I sacrificing for the Lord? Have I given my life over to Him? Have I taken up my cross every single day and bore it for God? Or am I just serving God as long as I don't have to carry too big of a burden? As long as I don't have to work too much? As long as it doesn't take too much out of what I want to do, I can handle serving the Lord. These are things we need to look at, especially when we sit down to do that deep interrogation of ourselves. Where am I at? The other thing is, it's a continual process. Spring cleaning happens every year. No matter how well we cleaned the house the year before, Mom still wanted to clean it the next year. And you know what? She wasn't satisfied with cleaning it in the spring. We had to clean it all year long. It wasn't surprising or out of the ordinary for Mom to walk in our room and say, have you cleaned the stuff out from under your bed?
You need to get that stuff out of your closet. In August. It's a continual, ongoing process. Just ask John. Betty keeps him busy cleaning all the time. Same is true regarding our spiritual cleaning. It's a continuous, ongoing process. I discipline my body and make it my slave so that after I preach to others, I myself will not be disqualified. Did Paul say, I did that once a year? I did that when I obeyed the gospel and now I just keep going? No, I discipline. That's a current thing in his life. The one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides in it. Not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of his Son cleanses us from all sin. Not if we wander into the light every now and then, but if we walk in the light. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. It's a continual, ongoing process, never ending. As long as we are alive and our minds are alert and active and able, we need to be watching ourselves, cleansing out the dross, strengthening the good points, patching up the weak ones so that they can be strengthened as well. Constantly. Ongoing. Why? Because we have been cleansed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As Peter told his readers in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22, since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. Now, there's a lot of lessons we could get from that, but what we want to focus on, you have purified your soul. How many times growing up did mom tell you, put something on over your dress shirt because it's clean. I don't want you getting it dirty before you go out. In fact, when I go home this afternoon, I'll take my dress shirt off and hang it on the door so when I sit down to eat my sandwich or drink my coffee or eat my cookies for dessert or whatever, I don't get anything on it. Because it's clean. I want to keep it clean. We've been cleansed by the blood of Christ. Why would we want to get dirty again? You can't go outside and play because you're already dressed for worship. You've heard that one, haven't you? Such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. We need to take the time to cleanse ourselves. Sometimes we need to take the time for a good, long-term, solid cleansing. But we need to constantly be guarding ourselves against sin, removing the things that are wrong in our life so that we can remain pleasing in the sight of God for all eternity through having lived pleasing in His sight while walking here upon the face of the earth. We need to keep ourselves clean. The Scripture encourages it. In fact, it demands it. Yes, we have had our sins washed away, but we must live in obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Through obedient baptism and submission to the Lord, blood has washed us and we have been raised up out of that watery grave, a new creature, a child of God. But we live in a world that is full of sin and darkness. Crooked and perverse, the Apostle Paul rendered it. And it's hard to walk through this world without doing some of it on us, and we need to cleanse it. We need to constantly be on guard and watching. And we need to sometimes take a long, hard look deep inside ourselves to ensure that we're still wholly devoted to serving the Lord. If you look this morning and find you are not, and find some things that are hindering you in your service to the Lord, we urge you to set them right.
pray to God and ask Him to forgive, confessing your sins. He's promised that He will wipe them away as if they've never been. If they are public in nature, or if you need the prayers and concerns of the brethren on your behalf, we encourage you to come and let your desire be known. Always stand in the same church.